Coming to you from some parking lot in Berkeley, California, it's Bikescape, episode number 65, July 8th, 2008. Hi, everybody. Welcome to another Bikescape. Maybe in the town where you live, on the last Friday of the month, or maybe some other Friday, a bunch of you might get together and go on a ride. Maybe you call it critical mass, maybe you don't. But you'll get together in a big group of people, and you'll outnumber the cars on the street. And you're all there for a different reason, I realize that. But what I always get out of critical mass, and a lot of my friends seem to get out of it, is the sense of community that happens when you put a bunch of people in a place where there was once a river of cars and you replace it with a party on wheels. It certainly changes the atmosphere and creates community where there wasn't any before. Now imagine if that ride was at a place like Brazil, for instance, a country that was a dictatorship for decades and is now, even 10 years after the dictatorship, they're still climbing out of it and they have no civil society whatsoever. Imagine what a tool that critical mass would be, or even just the bicycle would be in a place like that. So when I was at the Towards Car Free Cities conference in Portland, Oregon last June, I went to one presentation by Tiago Benicio and Eduardo Green, who gave a presentation about bicycling in Brazil. Tiago spent most of his time talking about bicycling in his hometown. He's based in Sao Paulo, huge city in Brazil. And Florianópolis is the town where Eduardo comes from, a smaller, more resort-type area. And they both gave excellent presentations. We'll begin with Tiago Benicio from Sao Paulo.
Well, we come from Brazil, that is also south as Australia, but I think a little different. Brazil lived from 1964 to 1998, military dictatorship, which you should know that South America lived military dictatorships. And after 1989, after our first election, presidential election, we live in what, in my opinion, is another dictatorship, which is the consumerism dictatorship. So we opened our markets. People started to buy and buy and buy. And if you buy, you don't have to think. Your problems are all solved when you buy. This is the city where I live, which is São Paulo, one of the biggest cities in the world. One of the biggest... this is regular. This is not an exceptional situation. It's our daily basis commute. It's a huge city, a huge sprawl. About 18 million people living in the metropolitan area, about 8 million cars in the same area, and traffic jams. And move on to the next one. This is the companies that produces our cars. They are not Brazilian. I think you have some point on this.
Yes.
Brazilian. Yeah, this is our cars come from these companies. We produce our fuel, which is we are kind of autosufficient in our fuel, but to feed these companies' cars. So the money of this all this production, the sales, goes to these companies. Of course, I think it's worldwide an argument about to support car industries that it produces, it just makes the money circulate, it makes the economy be heated, but the money goes outside Brazil, most part of it goes to the other parts of the world. If you want to talk something... Yeah.
Just some point about this building of cars that is kind of a strong argument in Brazil because for some years many factories have settled their the plants in Brazil. So actually, beside the negative side, there are some jobs being raised in Brazil in car industry, because we also export many cars. It's not for just the internal market. They are shifting the factories from European states to countries like Brazil. So we are actually becoming some jobs with this. So this is a different, we have to have different arguments to against car industry in Brazil, because of here you can say we already have no jobs in car industry, so we have jobs in car industry, so it's something a little bit different. Just a point on this.
Yeah, because it's pretty hard to say, oh, close all the car factories, and because it, of course it movements the economy, and great part of our economy is based, especially São Paulo. Our president, actual president now, is Lula, which is a former worker of a car factory. I don't know if you heard about Lula. It's kind of, many people say it's a progressive type, and he came from the union during the 80s when we were finishing the dictatorship period. He was one of the leaders of the workers in the car industry factories.
And actually, the states in Brazil, they fight one against each other to become the place for a factory. So they give total exemption. Is that so?
Tax free
for the plants for 20 years. They pay no taxes for the state, so they can become this factory. So they once say, oh, okay, I give you the free landing. Oh, I give you tax free for 20 years. And so they fight one against each other to become the place for a factory, actually, nowadays. So in for some years, we had only four major brands. And now we have like this 20. So in the last 10 years, many, many, many factories were opened in Brazil.
So during this context, inside this context, it's a picture of Adbusters. After this, all these years of military dictatorship, what a military dictatorship makes is to end with all kinds of civil society organizations. And from what I heard and from what I know, we are, before 1964, building a civil society like any other country. And the military dictatorship came and ended with it all, and so we are in the middle of this corporate power that makes the economy move and that makes kind of brings some welfare to people and the civil society that we don't have at all. So this we are electing presidents now, we are electing mayors, we are electing
governors.
But our this is our democracy. This is a picture of the election day in São Paulo. During the election day, you are allowed to do anything you want with your car. There is no traffic fines, so you can park. Because they say people need to go to vote. Vote is it's mandatory in Brazil. You have to vote. It's not an option. So people have to go to vote, and so it's allowed that you can park whenever you want, because you must go to vote. So that's what our sidewalks become during the election days.
Just point, because it's nice. At the left, this is a voting machine.
I don't know if you have this.
This is a voting machine.
Yeah.
We are very progressive, you know, we vote electronically. And this is an ATM. So it's just about the same, just you take some numbers and it's okay.
I don't know if you have this kind of... We vote like this. We have media campaigns of candidates like every other country. We have a few media groups, I think, every other country. That's different. I think we have few media groups different from other countries that have a civil society already built. So our information is very concentrated. We are always dealing with breaking this media barrier to make any kind of information to go through. And this is our pedestrian spaces in São Paulo. You can see this is also allowed. This is in front of a police department, normal. And this is a situation that we have that is, I think it's very peculiar in São Paulo, which is the Valet Park. I think you know what is it about. But I think in your cities, Valet Park is something for rich people that goes to fancy places. In São Paulo, we have valet parks for even in drugstores. You go to a drugstore, a person that parks your car. For middle classes, for lower middle classes, everyone needs the valet park because it's hard to find a place to park.
Is it more efficient that way? Is that part of the reasoning?
Is it if it's more efficient?
Yeah. I mean, why do you do this?
It's because I think it.
You just don't have to care about your car. Someone cares for you.
I think there are some reasons. First was a crime, but I think in every city, fear is greater than is always higher than crime. Crime exists in Brazil. Violence exists in Brazil, but fear, of course, is higher than the real crime. And when people move around their cities inside cars, they are always afraid. Because they are carrying a huge amount of money inside that thing, and they are always afraid. So Valet Park came to solve two problems. The first one is the lack of parking spaces, which is solved by kind of informal mafias that privatizes the public spaces. So if you want to park your car in that spaces, no, it's not allowed. They come, they probably steal your sound system. So they make kind of a mafia
in Oregon. We can't pump our own gas. Maybe it's similar.
The same. I think it's the same. And another situation of this valet park. So it's common. It's even in drug stores. And another situation related to that about fear and violence is that everyone in São Paulo uses dark tinted windows. Mm-hmm. Everyone. It's really common. It's not for fancy rich or big cars. Everyone uses and says that it's violence. But for who walks and for who rides a bike, you have no eye contact with drivers, so it increases a lot of the violence in traffic. We have no bike lanes, we have no bike path in São Paulo. This is just two examples. This is a very great example of engineering. It's a bump for bicycles. It's very high. It's like this high. So we go with our bike, and if you have a thin wheel bike, this is one of our bike lanes. This is the end of one bike lane. This is not goes until here and over.
This is because probably we had some accident one time here, so they say, no, let's stop the bike because not stop the car, always stop the bike. So it's like this.
So no bike lanes. So inside all this context, what in São Paulo, in which state we are beginning to be? Let's say we have critical mass. It started in 2002, related to the anti-globalization protests, Seattle, Genova, blah blah blah. Inside this protest, critical mass happened first. And then from 2004, it started to happen kind of on a monthly basis, but with a few participants. I started to participate in 2005, and we had like this, sometimes four or five people. But that's great. Move on. We started to use a lot of virtual xerocracy, which is a term that comes from San Francisco. Our flyers are mostly to publicize the critical mass happenings. And using computers is very easy. You take a picture and anyone can make a flyer to like put the date and everything. So it's more examples of our flyers that we made during the times.
You say virtual because you're not printing them?
No, not printing.
Just email them to people?
Yeah, just email. Exactly.
We have some printed material as
well. We have. We can share that. Yeah. So, critical mass, I think everyone knows what is it about, is do it yourself, so we started to...
Can you just explain the expression that you had about the concentração lúdico-educativa? I just think that's a great expression, you should translate that for...
Okay,
well... It's on the bottom of the postcards of the previous screen.
Can you go back one?
Okay, I can... Yeah, this is... Concentração Lúdico-Educativa, which is the meeting point. We started to say that it's a ludical and educative space. I don't know who invented that, but it was like a ludical and educative space. So people go to meet and to like to give flyers to drivers, to warn about traffic laws, to warn to demand respect. And I'll tell more when you go to the bicycle square about Concentração Lúdico-Educativa. I think it's the point. Yeah. So this is critical mass. Go. Our basic communication, as we have a media concentration in Brazil, very hard to block, to cross the barrier. We started to become the media. We started to have a lot of blogs related to bicycling, related to pedestrians, related to car culture. And I can say now that we have a great network of blogs, which is great because I heard yesterday from people from New York that they cover issues that the big media are not interested, and that's exactly what blogs and what alternative media does. As we have a very this barrier, this media barrier, we started to say things and to point on issues from point of views that the big media, the mainstream media, are not interested, or for economic reasons, or even for political reasons, or even for because they don't understand what is that. First, they don't understand what is critical mass. They don't understand even what is ride a bike. They think, oh, do you ride a bike? Are you a sportist? Do you? How long do you practice bike to ride in São Paulo? So that's what they think. So we started to build this kind of network related to bicycling, related to say we're not crazy. And I think now we have a great network of not only bicycling related, but car culture and pedestrians blogs. So this is the bicycle square, which is something that happened in critical mass in São Paulo. This is our meeting point. And it's since 2004, the critical mass meets there. And we realized it, can go one more. We realized that this place, which is not a square, it's a kind of middle...
Nowhere place.
Yeah, in the middle of an avenue, you have that statue, and it's kind of square. And we realized that this point has no name, so we decided to give a name to this point, and we call it Bicycle Square. So we made the signs for the Bicycle Square. We made an inauguration party with movies and music. And, can I hope? And the Bicycle Square became official last year, which is the city like said, oh, okay, it's a law, we're going to make the Bicycle Square official. During the car-free days, because as you saw on the first slide, the traffic jams are always getting worse. So I'm going to get to this point later, sorry. This is our fifth anniversary during... I think it was last year. And it started, there you can see that there are much more people. Last year we are with about 150 people participating, 100 people every month. This is Carefree Day that we organized along with the city council, but in a very informal way. We don't have, this is an important context to give, we don't have... Our bicycling issues in São Paulo are related to the Green Council, not to the Transport Council, which is a big problem, in my opinion. The Green Council supports a lot, so that's they helped us to make this parking space, parking to park, in 2006. But it's in a very informal basis, like, okay, we're going to see if we can make with the traffic guys to separate this space for you to do in a very, very informal way, as we don't have a civil society and a kind of dialogue between society and public government. That's the point where we are building this kind of thing. We also have the Urban Repair Squad in São Paulo, which until now built 49 kilometers of bike lanes, which is more than the double of of the official bike lanes, because they say we have about 29 kilometers of bike lanes in São Paulo, which is not true because about 22 are inside parks, so it's not bike lanes. If you paint something inside a park, a park doesn't need a bike lane. The bike lane is needed outside the parks. So we painted like 40 kilometers of bike lanes in São Paulo during critical masses and also after that and in other times. So this is Car Free Day 2007. Can move. Also on Bicycle Square. This is our kind of our turning point. The Car Free Day last year was kind of our turning point. Because it Car Free Day last year, I don't know if you remember, September 22nd was a Saturday. So our traffic jams are getting to 250 kilometers of, average daily. 250 kilometers of inside 800 kilometers monitored streets. So the city monitors 800 kilometers and 250 are completely locked. That's the point where we are arriving. So even for people who drive car in São Paulo, it's getting terrible to move around. So last year, as it was Saturday, we have kind of a corporate support and like some ad, some public advertisement agencies supporting, also in a very informal way, but as if it was Saturday, the city doesn't have like to face traffic and say, don't get out of your cars on a Monday, because everyone will say, but on a Monday I have to go to work, how can I give up my car on a Monday? So if it's Saturday, okay, we can have a higher level of propaganda about the Car Free Day, which helped a lot on what happened, but what happened in the streets was mostly came from critical mass and came from other groups of people that are organizing, and we have more than 300 people participating in that day, which was quite beautiful. And it was the first time that we took the whole Paulista Avenue, that is our avenue. Because we always, as we are a few, we never take the four lanes of Paulista Avenue. We take like two. In the very beginning, we take just one. Then after two. But this is the first time we took all the four lanes, which was great. can go on. This is Children's Day, another activity, very informal, that we made. We like said, it's just nice pictures, but we closed this part of Paulista Avenue for children to play. All these are made in an absolute informal way. No authorization, no permits requested, no nothing. We just go to the streets and make. Nothing was requested to make this kind of issues. Let's go. And this is another short story. Not a short, but it's a very recent story. It's a bridge built recently in São Paulo called Otávio Frias, which was the publisher of one of the main networks, the main newspapers in São Paulo, so one of the media barons in São Paulo, in Brazil. This street is called Roberto Marinho, which is our Citizen Kane. There's a BBC movie called Citizen Kane. I don't know what's the name of the movie, but about Roberto Marinho. He was the
Beyond Citizen Kane.
Beyond Citizen Kane. It's a Channel 4 documentary about Globo, which is the biggest television network. So this avenue is called Roberto Marinho, which is the previous owner of Globo. And the bridge is called Roberto Frias, which it was supposed to call also Roberto Marinho, but then there is a law that doesn't allow two things to have the same name. So we're not going to say Roberto Marinho, we're going to give Roberto Frias, that is another publisher. This bridge is only for cars, no public bus line is going through, no pedestrians and no bicycles allowed into it. You can go. And this is where this bridge was built. This is our World Trade Center in São Paulo, Hilton. And this is in one corner of the street, and this is on the other corner. This is the contrast that we live. This region is being very... I always forgot to say
real estate
speculation. This is the region for real estate speculation. It used to be a quiet neighborhood with some favelas. How do you say favelas? Favelas. With some favelas, but it's a neighborhood. And now the big money, since the 90s, the big money is coming and building avenues. This avenue was built like 10 years ago, I think 20 years ago. And so this is the region where this bridge was being built. And the bridge was announced as a São Paulo monument. It was kind of sold by the city council and by the media as a monument. It's our monument. Because it was built in it's a beautiful bridge, okay. It was built in a different engineer style that you have these cables sustaining the bridge. You have this cable sustaining the bridge. It's okay, it's a very nice bridge. And we decided, as it was planned, a parade of old cars that belonged to this guy, not only to this guy, but for the official inauguration, it was planned a parade of old cars along the bridge. And then we decided that we also want to inaugurate and to enjoy the monument, as they're saying that it's a monument for people, not for cars. So we decided that we also want to join the commemorations of this party. So this is our invitation for the party. This is the bridge that you can see here. And we decided to make a picnic and also to go in front of the cars. So this is the parade, the old cars, and we are in the middle of the old cars. Can go. And then we finally, the cars, we rode. I tried to download a video, but have some internet issues. Maybe you can see that later. We go in front of cars. Police try to block us, but they don't know how to do with bikes. They know how to do with crowds, but they don't know how to do with bikes. So we just go through the police. We are the first to inaugurate the bridge.
Yeah.
The true story of the bridge. And can go. This is the bridge. There's another build. The official picture has cars. The same, the exact same angle. And then we decided to make the picnic. The cops didn't get to with our picnic in the middle of the street because the cars are supposed to come this way. But they came and we are very peaceful, and that's one of the issues that are great in critical mass in São Paulo. Really peaceful, and can go one more. So we decided, okay, we're not going to interfere. We just want to come here and be the first ones to pass, to make history. We know that you won't say that we are the first. You say that the cars are the first. As the media said, the cars inaugurated the bridge. That's not true. We inaugurated the bridge. But, okay, we said, okay, we've made our point, so we're going to move to this is a side lane.
Like a shoulder. Like a shoulder.
Yeah. So say, and let's make our picnic there. And it was very fine. The police came. We offered some juice, some bread. It was fine. Born. This is another, nice. Just a beautiful picture in the bridge. Move on. Another action that we made after the inauguration of the bridge, which was the ride of silence. You can see this is rush hour, and you can see this bridge is very useful for São Paulo. This is rush hour, so it's really needed to build this bridge because there's a huge traffic jam needing to pass. It's about 7:30 in the afternoon, and this is the traffic jam that we have in the bridge. They spent 230 million reais, which is about $100 million, which for us is a lot of money. I think for everyone it's a lot of money. And then we made this ride of silence this year also. This is the Naked Bike Ride. Until Naked Bike Ride, we didn't have any problems with the police. Which is strange coming from Brazil, because we all know the carnival, the beaches, the people dancing naked on the streets, and but that's not true. It's a very moralistic place to live. And until Naked Bike Ride, that some say that 200 people, some say 300 people joined Naked Bike Ride, we didn't had problems with police. Move to the next. Then we have some problems with the police. Last Saturday, the same day as in Toro, in Portland. So we had some problems with the police. But the point is, as As we don't have a civil society, as the traffic jams are getting always insane for every time insane for people who ride cars or bikes or pedestrians, critical mass and everything people are doing, because we are people, we don't have any association organization in São Paulo, everything that we are doing counts with a kind of immunity and support of the society, and even from people that work inside the public government, because we know that it's not our public government that they are our enemies, or media, big media, they are our enemies. It's all people, and inside every place there are people that support some things that are good for us and other that not support. So this scene that was photographed by an Associated Press, published on La Repubblica of Italy, this scene sounds really bad for the city people, the city council people didn't like to see the reaction of people, of police, this kind of action of police. And in the process of civil society building, it's very interesting to see this happening, because after this military dictatorship and after this period of consumerism, the police always treated social movements or every kind of dissonant voice the same way, like bombs and
pepper spray
and everything. And when this kind of scene starts to make the mainstream people to feel like, that's not good, let's push a little less harder, it's good to see, because it's good for civil society, and that's the moment where we're living. Can go one more. So this is the guy, one guy been arrested. They said that he was the leader, this one, he was the leader of the movement, which was not true, but they are monitoring our mailing lists. It's public known that they monitor, the lists are open, and so there is no secret, you don't do things in secret. And he was one guy that he kind of say more things, and so he was arrested, they know that was him. So, in this, after these years, it's a very recent experience about bicycling in São Paulo, about doing these informal activities. And after these 2 or 3 years that the traffic jams get higher and higher, and that we are kind of building from 5 people to 300 people, and 300 people really participating in the activities, like they are bringing things, they are into it, they are not passive watchers of something, they are into the activity. They understand what's going on. We are building a network of trust, which is great, in a public space, which is great in São Paulo, because everything happens in private spaces in São Paulo. São Paulo is a very... We don't have parks that people meet. We have bars that people go. We have shopping centers. We have 51 shopping centers in São Paulo. We built our 51st private state in São Paulo. So, but after all this, after this short period, we can see some initiatives being made. This, the first one on the left, was a bike parking made by a car insurance company. The first one, or just a few, but it's, we can see some things. That the one, this one down, is also bike parking together, integrated with the subway, with the train network, built by the state government. Also just a few, we have just 3 or 4 in the whole network. And the bikes allowed in the subway only on Saturdays after 2 p.m. on Sundays. So it's also for leisure activities, it's not for transportation. But okay, it's good to see the symbol inside the subway station.
It's coming, it's
good, yeah.
Starting, we are just starting everything.
Yeah.
And you see that at the first step. As they see also this as a first step, it's already okay. It's good. As so we keep moving on, it's positive.
Yeah. And besides, I think it's the last one. Besides all this, this is the last one. The main thing I think that happened this sense of community involving people that participate on that in a country that has no organized civil society. That the civil society were always treated as an enemy of state, because if you try to organize, you are an enemy of state, you are an anarchist, you are a communist, you are something like that, always. And the main thing that happened, I think, during this period of critical mass, and not only critical mass, because critical mass people, they started to do some other things related to other issues. My actual friends, we were talking about friends before, my actual friends comes from Critical Mass, which is great. I never met these people before, and they are really my friends. I have like 10 people that I consider my great friends.
My current friends.
And they come from Critical Mass. So this community building is very important for a place like Brazil. And this is some art interventions. This is the first logo that used in Critical Mass in São Paulo. I think it comes from
even Adbusters. From,
I don't know if it's Adbusters or
Rob Zvierna in Seattle.
You know.
I think he created that. Yeah.
You know. Oh, we always credit as anonymous author because we never know. So this is the first one, and then people started to make interventions, and I think the context in São Paulo is this. It's a very beautiful moment that we're living. Even with the pollution, traffic jams, it's a very beautiful moment for the society. We are teaching when we see like people inside the city council say, no, the police shouldn't have made that. It's a great advance for us because it's a great advance. So we are kind of teaching the police, we are teaching the companies, we are teaching, not teaching, because you don't have the expertise that you have here to make urban planning or neither to make advocacy. We are intuitive learning. But we're sharing experiences with persons from public government, from corporations. And among ourselves, we are creating a big community sense, network of trust. I spoke too much.
Let's continue in the same momentum.
As we are a big country, the reality is very diverse.
Yes, we have lots of realities. So as we said before, he's living in the greatest city of the
not
country.
Not the greatest, the biggest.
The biggest? The greatest is mine. Mine is the greatest, okay. So I live in Florianópolis, that is the capital city of Santa Catarina, southern Brazil. It's colder, it's another culture. We have German Italo settlement and also from Azorian. So we are kind of smaller, based on fishing at first, so based on tourism nowadays. Yeah, we live in an island. Just let me see. Okay, this is the island of Florianópolis. It's the island continent. We have lots of people also. So 1 million people, more or less, in the metropolitan area. And now it's growing very fast because many people from São Paulo, mainly, or Porto Alegre, or Rio de Janeiro, violence is growing too much, traffic is growing too much. So people are moving to smaller places, so they have better quality of life, and so our quality of life is decreasing now. We are getting traffic jams every day, and crime raised like 400% in last year. So we are now facing a very strong growth, and I saw this in some kinds happens also in Portland. It's also a city that's growing here. They are planning, so the population almost doubles in some years. So it's like what we are facing now. So as Thiago told, people in the government, they don't have experience. They are not experienced with bicycles, actually. They don't know anything at all, actually, about bicycling. They already have lots of knowledge about traffic. The CET, that is the Traffic Engineering Committee of São Paulo, they are very good on this, actually. They can manage, they have so 150 kilometers of traffic every day, 100 miles of stuck traffic every day, but they there could be much more. So they are very effective on this, but actually they don't know anything about bikes and about pedestrians and about public transport. So I think our goals as bicycling active advocates is to grab some ideas. This is perfect. We can grab some ideas from all of you, what's happening worldwide, and we can adapt them and select some of them. And now we can we are starting to show what's happening to them. What's a bicycle world, actually? This all the sort of concern that are among bicycling, so showing them so can they can start to learn what cycling is about and to start plan. So we are doing some like an education for the public, for ourselves actually also. We are also learning and we also spreading the word to the public people and to in general. So this is a study we did. These are more or less all the routes that are used for bicycling in Florianópolis. This is an island that has like 60 kilometers, so it's like 40 miles this, and this is like 8 miles more or less. So it's a very spread city because it's only in the island live only 250,000 people, and so there are so small. It's like it's only one city, but it's like some lots of towns. This is one town, but it's a town, there are lots of towns, but it's actually only one city. It's a different, it's very different from Europe, but maybe like in US, very a great sprawl. So these are the most used bike, these are the most used streets by bicyclists, so this next one. This is the only streets that have some bike facilities, like bike lanes or bike paths. The others have, you know, anything. And this we did this. We said, okay, these are the most dangerous for us. So we are starting to show them what where they can start to do something to improve our quality. Because actually, if we don't do this, they start to build where it's more to be seen. You know, like in downtown, so people see that they build something that's not so useful for cyclists, but useful for their voting. So we can start to show them. Yeah, as you see here, the most are in the coast, so it's good for leisure. You have a good view. It's just nice, but sometimes there is nothing more needed. We need some facilities where people really cycle. So, so we start to show them what are the key points for us. So this is as the city very sprawled, isn't it? It's connected by roads. Actually, they are used as avenues, but they are roads, and the roads have no shoulders. You can see this. This is like 10 centimeters, and we have to cycle over this, and then comes a truck. So you actually don't have space for bicyclists.
During the night?
Yeah, this is very, very dangerous. So we start to say, okay, at first you don't have money to do some bike lanes, so please only do some pavement here. For the first, this is your first facility you can do. Later we can improve it, but first do this. So one more. So actually, they now this is one of our first conquerors. They did this on this one. Yeah. So this is much better. This was like 2 years ago. This is 6 months ago. A little bit better.
Have you tried to use data like the number of accidents or fatalities to justify needed changes?
Yes. Actually, we don't have this data. You know. Now, for some months ago, they started to, when they have a police occurrence, normally they put like bike accident as in a general, like accident. So you even didn't know it was a bike accident or a pedestrian accident or a car accident. So we are not seen, you know. We don't exist for them. So this is amazing because we were talking here about what's a car bike culture that we find here important. So it's among music, arts, and transportation, and that's a lot sort of subjects covered by bikes. So we don't have a bike culture. So we actually are not seen, they say people don't cycle at all, so we won't do this. We won't spend this few money we have with bikes because people don't cycle. Because actually people cycle. In Florianópolis, among these towns, people used to bring their children to school by bike, but we are not seen. So it's a very, we call it an ant work, because we are so like little ants doing some small works. So one person passes her whole life saying, oh, please, when you have an accident, please report that it was a bike. So after 5 or 10 years, they start to report this as a bike accident. So you can start to collect some data, so you can have later, you can have some data to support your thing. So we are doing all, more or less, this is good, we are doing everything at one time, you know. So normally you have some steps, so sometimes it's good, we can jump some steps, but sometimes it's not.
Is that how you got that paved, just through persistence? You kept asking and asking and asking, or what motivated somebody to make that change to the road?
Yes, we actually do some protests, we do some different kinds of activities, we go to their offices, we do some protests, so I will show some of some of this. So these are nearby, so nowadays there's still some roads like this. You have some situations like this. This is a bridge. There's no place to cycle. This is the continuum of that other road, so they do it until some point, but that point on, nothing, so we still have lots of things to do. Okay? So this is some work of persuasion like this. So we managed to have a public audience in the state council. So we did a critical mass. We called everybody, okay, we have this, so please, everybody go. So we did a critical mass and we did a presentation. And we showed this is a deputy, this is the planning man, and so we get everybody together, did the presentation, and then afterwards, sure, we have some beer. That's because we
that's
have to live.
The persuasion comes.
No, they were not here. This is only us, because it was a very good day for us, because they are starting to listen us. So this is very important. We are having a voice now. We have to commemorate this. This is good for us. So this was a presentation we did for the public people, for the government. So showing like, this is the villages, the towns inside the city that I told you. So we made a circle. We started to like teach them. Okay, this is a 5 mile circle. Inside this 5 miles, the bike is very effective. Because of their speed, they're covering. So we are spreading the word for them. So these are these green are the circles around the bus terminal. So we're trying to say them, if one person lives here and wants to go downtown, this is about 30 kilometers. No one will cycle this. So you have to build some facilities for us so we can cycle. Because otherwise, they are saying, okay, we like to help you. Let's build a bike path that comes from here to here, but okay, it's nice, but no one will cycle this. You can't just do this. So we are showing Portland. You are very important for us. There is some place in the world where people can put their bikes on the buses and ride with them. Believe us. Yes, they wouldn't believe. No, but this is very complicated. This will make the bus late. And no one will use this. People are stupid idiots here. They won't do this. How you can put a bike on a bus? This is... So you have to show them all these things so they can start to think about it. They have to know that somewhere in the world it happened. So we are slowly gaining this. So we show it some bike parking facility in Holland. So, oh man, this is amazing. But people there, they are born on a bike. So we have it here. And this is this parking lot in a subway in São Paulo. So we are starting to do this. So for example, our own examples serve us to another. So we can say, now in São Paulo, they have some biking facilities. Yeah. So this is good. We have some more closer examples. Because Holland is not so good as an example for us. Because it's so different, the reality, that almost doesn't serve at all, you know? So you just show them all, there is this, but you must show a closer example. So this is was a situation, this is the end of a bike path. So they just put a step here because all the people, they won't return, because this was done for leisure. This, the sea is here, the ocean. So, you were cycling for the ocean, nice. Oh, then, okay, let's go back. People use this for transport. So they put a step, two steps, there's a small rock here and another one. So we say, okay, let's start to improve this. Okay, you made this bike. So people can't go up here. So we do some kind of, so we are planning, these are people from the state planning, okay, let's do some changes in this bike path. So they, with like $5,000, they grab a company, and I was there, because if you are not there, they never did a ramp for bikes. So they sometimes do a ramp like this. So no, you have to do a ramp like this, you know, because otherwise people will have to break. So you have to teach everybody, show how a bike behaves. So this is very slow. So they did this ramp, and okay, finally, during all the bike lane, they did like 40 ramps. So we can just go smoothly, a little bit more smoothly in this. So this I want to show you that, because we have so very low budget for everything in Brazil. So we have to be very creative about solutions done for bikes. So sometimes this is like this, what they're doing in São Paulo, and this we can have a great improvement of our reality with just a small work, you know. So these are some photos of critical mass rides. These are it's not an actual critical mass, like call it as this, but this was a ride that was organized by their own community. It's a neighborhood of Florianópolis, so they call it the children of both schools in the community, and we as association, because we have an association of cyclists there, we supported this, we give it support in this route, and to manage the traffic along with the police. Because also the police doesn't know how to manage a bike ride, so we have to be, they are in motorcycles, we have to be together with them, so take care and everything. And then this is very effective, because now comes elections, they want to show something for the people. So as this community has organized for 3 years a ride with children, now they build a bike lane there, connecting the two major schools of the neighborhood. So this is good. So these are also bike rides in São Paulo. I exchange a lot with São Paulo, so I take part of this ride. This was where we put a ghost bike in São Paulo also. This was the only ride. This is up in the Paulista. As he said, only one lane or two lanes normally are taken from this avenue. And okay, these are these bikes we are using.
Yes, because when we do some things like the ghost ride, it sounds like people inside the government and media people, they say, oh, really, bicyclists die, that's true, because they don't have this idea, we are invisible. So when we see the example of Portland on the buses, that's what Tudu was saying, they say, oh, all right, there are cities in the world that it's possible to take a bike in a bus, so it's not an idea that comes from another planet, it's just another country, but another city. When you show the bike parking in Amsterdam, the same, oh, people need to park their bikes because they just don't ride and ride and ride and ride and close their pockets. They need to park the bikes. So, and it's crazy because it's so simple things. And but when we see this inspiration from other places, even I, when I see something from Florianópolis or when I see something from Portland, and we start to spread this thing in our media, the mainstream media and the people started to realize for that. So that's the kind of thing that's going on. And the same for ghost bike, they say, oh, really, bicyclists die, so we need to start to count how many bicyclists die, because no one knows, we don't have research about that.
Actually, personally, I'm not so I don't like too much the idea of ghost bikes, because so the media comes and say, oh, you see, bikes very dangerous.
Yeah.
So let's not do anything. So I prefer normally some more positive messages about bicycling, so people are getting encouraged to ride, actually. So, but it's some controversial among us also. So we had a meeting of architectural students in Florianópolis. So this was very good, because there are students from all around the country. And then we realized that even people that live in Florianópolis doesn't know the best routes to bike. So we did lots of shoots with the neighborhoods here, the names. And so we just made an activity of doing these shoots with the people and also putting. So this is where you cross a bridge to arrive at the island, and then you arrive in an avenue with a bike lane. Okay, that's nice, but where to go? There's nothing written about this way you go to this neighborhood and this way you go to this other. So we just did some shields and put all around, all along the bike path, and to show the people and also to show the public people. So you should do this. We are doing this for now, for free for you, because you should do by your work, you know? So you have to do this, because we have some population, and as you, they only think about tourists, because they bring money. So even for tourists, you can do, you have to do this, because people want to cycle here and to know where to go. So please do it, man. So it was nice. It's already for 1 year, they are almost all gone, these shoots. But we are starting to show what we need to cycle good then. So okay. So this is the Urban
Repair Squad.
So we just call it there like people's bike lanes, because we are doing this, not the government, so we have to emphasize that. These are some activities in Brazil, in Florianópolis, of these bike lanes.
How long do those stay up before they're painted over?
So in this street here, I think the tarmac was very dirty, and we didn't clean it before. Mm-hmm. So in 1 week it was away. Oh. But in some places it lasts like 1 year.
Depends on the material, the ink you use.
The police don't erase it.
No.
Okay. No. Actually, who?
The police or the government doesn't get rid of it.
We had a report from Curitiba, that's another major city, and they did like a bike lane there also. So the government really didn't like this. First, they charged the people, they sued the people based on an environmental law. Yes, they were sued there. And they painted black all again. And then people came in the next week and painted the bike lane again. So, and it lasted. Because so came the media and all the things. So it was very good experience of confrontation and prevailed the cyclists. It was good. So, okay. So, that's it. We don't have a presentation, but actually only a few words. Now we are getting organized nationwide, because as like we have, for example, in Florianópolis we have an association. In São Paulo we don't have, but in other cities some have organized like NGOs. Some others don't have, and we as it is very difficult for us, because we don't have want to reinvent everything. So we are gathering together in a nationwide association. That's this one, UCB, that's like Brazilian Cyclists, not union, we call it, but union for us has another meaning. So it's a coalition, Brazilian Cyclists Coalition. So we are starting to gather together in a national, also for fight in a national level, to exchange and for a national level also. So that's it.
Just to let people know, I think we're like 6 minutes over time, so if you're, but I'm sure these guys would love to answer questions as well, so thanks.
Is there what are the transportation choices for people if they decide not to drive? Is there a decent public transit system that...
So, Okay, we both
move quickly. In São Paulo, no. But mass transit is for who, for losers, for who can buy a car.
But it exists.
It exists, but it's crowded and bad and expensive.
In Florianópolis, we don't have any subway system, no tram system, no streetcar, not of this, only buses. And they made an integrated, like they call it an integrated system, but normally you have to take at least two buses for go from any point to another point. So, and sometimes three buses, so this is not so interesting. And you can't bring your bike, you don't have a parking place for bikes or like this.
Can you talk a lot about some of the disadvantages you have in Brazil, just that it doesn't exist? I'm wondering what you think are your biggest advantages there.
I think the advantages are our climate's very nice, despite we have lots of rain also, and in summer it's very warm, but normally we have a very good climate. In my city, at least, we have lots of hills, but the neighborhoods were settled in the flatlands. So if you want to go to one neighborhood out to the other, sometimes you have to pass a hill. But among the neighborhood, you have flatland, and you also have inside this you have some alternative routes. So it's you see lots of people going to school, and if they work nearby, it's very good cycle also.
I think as we don't have nothing, or at least we have a lot of, as we, not nothing, but as we have few, it's easy to build something.
Actually, lots of people cycle.
It's philosophical, but it's kind of the way you see.
Actually, we have lots of people that cycle, at least in Florianópolis, but it's an issue of, if they become more wealthy, they stop to cycle. So our issue is not to get people to cycle. So it's get people not to stop cycling. And sure, we have to raise also the rate of people that cycle. But we have some people that cycle in these smaller towns. And this is all around Brazil. In the smaller cities, people do cycle. Yeah? But so we have to manage so they don't buy motorcycle. Motorcycle is a great issue in Brazil. You don't motorcycle here. We do a lot of motorcycle.
I think China is a perfect example
yes.
of this. You know, everybody
yes.
used to ride bikes. Now they're
yes.
becoming more wealthy and they're buying
yes.
cars
it's
and
like
they're not
this.
Riding.
Yes, it's yeah. like this. Yeah. It's a similar situation.
I think someone. You. Excuse me. I think
there was a picture. The Earth Day. It looked like sod. Was that? Sod laid out on pavement
or
having a
sun. Sorry.
Parking day.
The grass. Car free day.
Yeah, the car free day.
Yeah. Was that on a parking strip or?
Yeah, it's a parking space that we build in a parking space.
Okay.
Yeah. Inspired on
I was just wondering what the ex
huh?
I was just wondering about the explanation for that.
Yeah. Inspired on San Francisco, I think. The parking activity.
You have a card with your website?
Yeah, we can share that. Do we have time? Someone else?
Just a simple comment. I want to thank your presentation because I am from Mexico. We are from Mexico. And it's very similar, our situation. And it's very motivating for us to hear your experience because it's a great experience, I think. And I just want to thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
I just wanted to comment on a similarity between Brazil, sort of the broader economic story, and Ontario, where I'm from, because we're both, obviously, the economy. It's not just car culture, people driving cars. It's a big part of the economy. Ontario is the biggest auto-producing jurisdiction in North America. 20% of the economy is based on cars. So you have this problem of not only convincing people to not drive, which is actually, some progress is being made, but you have to, there's an economic impact, and it's clearly the same in Brazil, convincing people to, how do you transform the economy that is so dependent on the manufacture? I assume good jobs, union jobs with benefits that people rely on. So we've got a situation in Canada where a group of Canadian auto workers, which is very progressive on social justice issues, we're fighting on the environment and on this issue. And I just wonder if that's something that's part of your struggle or how you're dealing with that.
Actually, we are not only on this because, for example, one of the main incomes for the country is steel export. So we are exporting iron to China so they can build cars also. So it's not only our factories, but only for
commodities,
resources, basic resources. But actually, as we cycle advocates, we personally, we don't deal with this.
Yeah, I think
we don't even touch this thing. Only in city life, using cars, more in this subject. But actually, you are not so good seen because there are lots of, also in the city, lots of businesses that are built over car culture, car use. So car repair, gas stations, and park lots. So we are not good seen by these people. But actually, there is a company, a car insurance company, that is supporting bikes in Brazil a lot. This puts Segura.
I just want to say that your comment brings us to quickly. The world is connected. No, I think the world is connected and things are related. We should have, as a network of people and organizations, this kind of view that things are connected. The steel that we produce in Brazil go to India for them to build the $2,000 cars that will be sold in Australia. Mm-hmm. So it's connected. We have to.
We have about a minute till we get ready for the next panel. So hopefully for these guys, I'll be available.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Music is Tawate, Japanese DJ, mixing, among other things, Senor Coconut, an old friend of the show, who does his own rendition of Kraftwerk songs, and it's all mixed together into a samba beat, which brings it all back to Brazil, a truly international podcast. Anyway, I hope you enjoyed that discussion and presentation from Tiago and Eduardo. I'm going to dispense with a lot of the usual news stuff here. I'm trying to get all these shows up on the internet and get them out to you as fast as I can so I can get back to normal podcasting. But there's stuff happening. Check your website. Check the SFBC website, the Bike Coalition in San Francisco. Check with Time's Up and Transportation Alternatives in New York. It's all out there. There are many ways to interact with Bikescape. You can hear all the podcasts, all the archive shows, as well as the what's happening now, as well as you can find links and all sorts of goodies on the Bikescape blog, bikescape.blogspot.com. You can go there. You can leave comments if you want to be interactive. You can also write me an email at bikescape@sbcglobal.net. You can also leave voice messages, which can possibly be played on the podcast. No one's done it yet, but there's a phone number out there waiting by the phone. It's area code 206-984-1216. It's a Seattle number, and if you're calling from outside the United States, the United States country code is 01. As always, keep your eyes on the road and take the lane. Bye now.
Tchau, tchau.